Who's got the closing prayer tonight? Well, we might as well just have the closing prayer because the passage Preston read in Psalms is so parallel. He kind of gave the lesson tonight without knowing it. It's about praising the Lord. And, you know, I guess there's a few chapters in Psalms that covers that same material, you know, praising the Lord. But that's what we're going to be looking at today in Psalms 135. If you wanted to read along, I'm going to maybe reference a couple of other scriptures, but we're going to be in Psalm 135 tonight. And to sum it up, it is about acknowledging in all things, praising God in whatever situation. And in a lot of ways, that's applicable to us today. In whatever situation we find ourselves in, good or bad, giving God the credit and praising the God of creation. And starting out in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. That if you call yourself a servant of the Lord, you're going to be praising Him. We're going to be praising. This is talking, verbally, but there's a lot of different ways that we can praise the Lord by the way we live our lives, by the way we conduct ourselves in various situations. Not just having a situation where we'll give God praise and credit and honor, but in any and all situations, we praise the Lord. Goes on to say in verse 2, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Obviously, those that are serving in the house of the Lord, they should be praising God. But even if they're not, even if we're not, are we singing the praises of God when we're standing in the checkout line? When that person cuts in front of us at the last moment on a road, are we praising God or are we cursing man? In any and all circumstances, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for He is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. God deserves our praise because He is good. Is there anybody that can deny He is good? And He is good in all circumstances. It may not be a good situation, but the Lord is good. Even when we're in the midst of turmoil, the Lord is good. I'm reminded of Job when he was going through all of his turmoil and people were saying, just curse God and die. And he had the attitude, should we only praise God when things are going good for us? You know, the same God that gives us good also gives bad. It's not so much praising God only under good times. Because times are going to change. Times are going to be different. We're going to have day to day, even parts of a day, there's going to be good and bad. David says, praise the Lord, for He is good. That never changes. Sing praises to His name, and here's for us, for it is pleasant. It is good for us. It's honorable to God, but it's good for us. It's good for us to sit down, acknowledge, be, be aware of the good we have in our lives and the things that God does, and then to be thankful for it and give that praise to God. It is pleasant for us to do. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. The Israelites were chosen of God. Of all the cultures of the people in the world, it was the Israelites that he committed the oracles of God. They were the, you know, what does it say in 1 Corinthians? God's chosen the foolish things. Who would have ever thought these Israelites were going to be God's people? They're not the big Assyrian army. They're not the. He chose the Israelites. He chose us to be his children. And unfortunately, even though he calls, not everybody answers. What an honor to have an opportunity to be one of God's children and to turn that down. And I'm sure we can all make a list of people we know that offer has been made to, and they turn it down. That's sad. Goes on to say, "For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods." Israel was an island in the midst of a sea of pagan nations. I'm reminded of Paul in Athens when he was delivering his message on Mars Hill, how he's looking at all the altars and the temples and the places to offer sacrifice for this God, for that God, the God of this, the God of that. And he noticed you even have, and he says, "I perceive you are religious people." They had a heart to give worship, but not in the right direction. He says, "And I even noticed you had an altar with an inscription to the unknown God." That God is who Paul talked about. That God, the God, is above all of those other entities, which are they're not even gods. Above all of those entities that people give their worship to. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. In Genesis 1, we see when God was creating the world, he spoke the world into existence. And after each of his creations, it says, and he looked at it and saw that it was good. Everything God creates is good. It doesn't, you know, man has turned the tables a little bit, but everything God creates is good and should be used for the good. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. I love it how I mentioned this morning about just how many times it is recorded for us a repeating and a reminding of all that God does. Just in case we forget, how many times has this been repeated throughout the Bible? Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. This, in a lot of ways, this story was repeated by Peter on Pentecost, by Stephen as he's being stoned, or before he's being stoned. It is a reminder that you Israelites have been the benefit of God's glory. And he says, he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. You think of the plagues that swept over Egypt and glorified God the Father. And you think of the continuing story of them escaping out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, them going across on dry land immediately. How many times, you know, you've done your lake replacements and repairing liners and stuff, and you got to wait till it all dries out for you to go in and work on those lakes on the golf course. And it takes a long time. God, through Moses, parted the sea, and immediately it's dry land for them to be walking across. Not the slogging through up to here in mud and muck. Immediately they crossed on dry land. Amen. That's God. And David is saying, are you forgetting these things? Our God, the God that we worship, did all these things. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. David himself was part of that, but he's giving God the credit. I cannot think of a time, there may be, I can't think of a time where Israel outnumbered their enemies. There may be a time, but I can't think of any off the top of my head where they were the superior force. But God delivered them, and this caused other people, the people around them, to question and scratch their head. It sure wasn't this inferior number of people that defeated us. It had to be their God that did it. And that's why God did that. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. You think of not only these, but the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Hittites, the Philistines, that God's power defeated through Israel and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. This is a remembrance, a reflection, but also a proclamation. A proclamation by David and I guess a confession to God that he is praising him. That it's him that the glories and the praise you're getting from me, because I have reflected on all this, and you alone are the one that deserves it. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. One of the common beliefs that so many in the world and throughout history did not believe in is that the Lord will judge his people. That there will be a judgment. If people in the world today truly believed that and truly understand the power, the glory, the majesty of God, they would turn to God, because he is going to judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. This morning we finished looking at Nehemiah, and Nehemiah at the end of the book was saying, oh God, remember me. Remember the things I've done for you. We're all going to have to stand before God. And luckily, he's going to have compassion on us because he's going to look at people that are covered by the blood of Christ. Not people that stumble daily, but people that get back up, dust themselves off. Not people that never fall, but people that get up, dust themselves off, and keep going. That's what he's going to judge. And because of that, he's going to have compassion on those people. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. I think of those cultures that would worship different idols and carvings and man-made items. They were made by man. They're of silver and gold and stone and wood. A statue may have eyes. That God that they worship does not see. And David is aware of this. Moses went to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Why? Not to get them out of slavery, not to get them out of bondage, so that we may worship our God. That was the reason, so that we may worship the Lord our God. And in that culture, they had statues that the Egyptians worshipped. And they went up into the promised land, and all the cultures around them were worshiping these idols that men made. When Moses goes up, you know, after he's taken the people out of Egypt, and they're you know, all the wonders that they had seen, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the Lord God was leading them. Moses leaves him for a little bit, goes up on the mountain to get the written word from God. He comes back to a golden calf that they're worshiping and dancing around. And it's just like, that calf is not the one that saved you out of Egypt. It goes on to say, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. That the people that are trusting in those idols, they've got eyes, but they don't see. The people making them, they just don't see. I've made this. Not God. I made it. And it's no more of a God. It's a trinket. It's a piece of artwork. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. That fear is not a cowering, running from God. It's that respectful acknowledgement, love, a fearful respect of God. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This week, let's take time as we go through our different events of our day to take moments to praise the Lord. Even if it's a quick, dear God, thank you. Thank you for this food. Thank you for our family. Thank you for tomorrow's Monday morning. Dear God, thank you that I've got a job to get up to go to. Sometimes we overlook those blessings of the Lord. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, baptism, prayers, repentance, if there's something heavy on your heart right now that we, your brothers and sisters, could assist you with, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.